other.
And sticking closer to me than a brother. Never leaving me, never forsaking me. Being my ever-present help in time of need. God, thank you for experiencing my experiences. Being with me at all times. Everything that I experience in life, thank you for being with me, God. That I'm never alone. I want to make a declaration that I heard the Lord speak to me as we are worshiping, and I heard this: you are in a time of accelerated restoration of all things. I have a swimming pool in my backyard. It was hot yesterday. Renee and I worked a bit in the yard, and then we kind of dipped in the pool and cooled off a little bit. And the Lord brought that back to mind, and He said, you can look at a swimming pool, you can enjoy the water, but you can't experience it until you get in it. And it's your decision to step in it. I know there's a saying about stepping in it, but this is another type of stepping in it. So the Lord says that if you decide to step in it, you will experience a time of accelerated restoration of all things. Glory. Praise God. You can sit if you want to. Thank you guys so much. You know, this team up here has been in a time of accelerated restoration and anointing and prophecy that's just so exciting. And whew, glory. Right now, for me personally, I'm hearing the Lord speak more clearly, plainly, and more things when I come on Sunday morning while they're playing. It's just happening. The Lord does that with me at different times. Sometimes it's early in the morning, or I can be doing anything, mowing the lawn. But right now, He's just speaking so many things. He speaks to me a lot when I read His Word too, but He's just downloading things. It's hard for me to even keep up sometimes writing notes during worship of the things that He's speaking to my heart. Glory. Well, again, today's Father's Day, so let's just continue honoring and worshiping the Father of all fathers. Amen. And happy Father's Day to you that are fathers, to you that are future fathers, to you that are fathers spiritually and biologically. Just want to remind everybody that we are not going to have a Wednesday evening ecclesia council this Wednesday, and then Thursday evening at 6 o'clock begins our fireworks tent fundraiser. And everybody said glory, hallelujah, just in time that the heat came. Praise God. So 6 o'clock, if you can help, kind of an all hands on deck if you're able to on that time, and help get that set up, and we can get it set up really quick. So I haven't mentioned this in some time, but I was asked this recently, I think probably in light of the shooting in Charleston? There's so many different things going on at the church. Charleston, right? At the church. Because I know many of us here have conceal and carry permits, and it is completely and totally fine if you have a conceal and carry, to conceal and carry here at the church. If you go to someplace else, another church or ministry, you really need to ask and get permission to conceal and carry. That's the law. But it's I want you to know that you can conceal and carry here if you like. I do sometimes. I don't think we should walk in fear in any way, especially with things that are happening. But that is our Second Amendment right, and you can exercise your right. The only thing I would say is conceal and carry. Make sure you're not sticking it out there or it's showing, or until the law changes on that respect. I remember, quite a few years ago, I think this was back in the mid-80s, early 90s, I was talking to a police officer about weapons, and he said it was still on the books in Kansas City from the late 1800s that you can carry a sidearm and have it. Now, he said the police will hassle you, so be ready for that, but it was already a law. It was never changed. I don't know if it had been now or not, but anyway, we need to know our rights in every area and exercise our rights. You don't agree? Okay, that's all right.
Amen.
Want to remind you, too, that the Supreme Court is about to release their decision on homosexual marriage as well as Obamacare. They'll probably do it. They usually do those on Mondays. So they had a lot of decisions that they're releasing this month. I'm expecting the Obamacare and the gay marriage issue, not this Monday, but probably the last week, either that Monday or during the last week. So that'll be very telling on the direction for our nation and some things that are happening and going on. So you might keep that in mind in prayer and whatever the Lord gives you. Is that it? Do we have any other announcements we need to make or things to talk about? Yes, those that are going to Honduras, I mean, we just got like a month before we're going. You guys excited? Getting ready? Huh? Praise God. Yes, we are staying in Honduras, that the nation somewhere. I'm relatively sure we'll be going to Honduras. You just never know.
I heard Australia.
I'm pretty confident. Our plane tickets say Honduras, so that's no, we're not going there. But anyway, there are several things we have asked for. We need your copies of passports. There's a couple different medical release forms that we need finished. So please bring those in to the office and hand them to either Anna or myself so we can get that checked off the list before we go. We'll have another meeting coming up here soon so we can get some more information out. This morning I want to continue with speaking about the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to stay kind of in this vein of talking about the Holy Spirit until we kind of extinguish that. And every week we'll just be led by the Spirit of God, but that's what I feel like. So we might take breaks kind of like we do, but I feel like that's what we need to continue talking about. I'm going to share some things today in line with specifically the baptism of the Holy Spirit and some new things that I haven't seen before. I was telling Renee this morning, we were sitting on the deck as we do most mornings and having coffee, and I was reading and just kind of studying a little bit, and I shared with her a couple things that, I just never seen before, and some words in line with talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I've never really seen or really focused on, and really dug into some meaning of the words. And so I want to start with just a little bit of a refresher of some of the things that we've already talked about. There's some things that, because I think they're fairly new to at least most of us, I just need to feel like I need to repeat them often. So that's how you train yourself, your mind, your the way you think is by retraining your mind on the Word of God. Train that to start thinking differently. And when you start thinking differently, you'll start speaking differently, and you'll start acting differently. Starts with the mind. Praise God. All right, let's Matthew 28. And we'll just look at the Great Commission. halfway through verse 18, Jesus said this, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples." What are we supposed to make? Disciples, those who are disciplined in the ways of God, those who are learners, those who are followers, those who are shaping their life, the way they think, the way they act in everything of their life, that we want to shape people to be Christ-like. That's what a disciple is in a nutshell. Make disciples of all nations, not a few, but everyone. Nations is the word ethnic groups. We have a lot of ethnic groups. We have a lot of nations in Kansas City. You don't even have to leave this country to go to the nations. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I, Jesus, commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, this is what Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as we've been talking about for the last couple weeks, I've never seen it that way before. It just struck me. And I want to continue to encourage you. Because I also think, you know, when the Lord speaks about certain things that he wants us to do, to learn, to take some time to focus on something like he did with the red letters, with everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did, I've been doing that. See, when God speaks and you respond to what God says, that's faith. When you exercise and step out in faith, you then begin to receive grace to do what God has called you to do. You don't receive the grace beforehand. Grace is God's enabling power to do what you cannot do on your own. Grace is our teacher, the Bible says. Grace will also is what enables us to live a holy life. And you can't do that without exercising faith. And so exercising faith in just what did God say? He spoke, and I've been doing it. I've been just really focusing on the Gospels, really focusing on what Jesus said, all of Jesus said, all that Jesus did. Sometimes, right now I'm in the book of Luke, but then there's one instance that, you know, because they all look at it from different perspectives, some certain circumstances, and so I'll go back and look at it. And I'll tell you, the Lord has just been revealing so many different things and different words that I've never really studied, even some words. And some things that he said, I've just never seen it before. And it's just been a fascinating thing. And so I've been focusing on the Great Commission as well as what Jesus said about the baptism. As we said last week, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was the last thing Jesus talked about before he left the planet. Just before he ascended to heaven, he talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The disciples wanted to talk about end times. Even tried to change the course of the discussion, and Jesus brought him back and said, focus on what I'm doing right now. Focus on what I'm speaking to you right now, because you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, so that you can be what? My martyrs. That you could be my witnesses. Somebody's phone's ringing. That you could be my witnesses in all of the nations, all of the earth. That without that, and Jesus said this, wait. Don't go and try to start a congregation. Don't try to raise the dead. Don't go preaching God. Don't do anything. I know my English is not the greatest. Don't do anything. Don't go do ministry. You wait. And we looked at that. He commanded them and he gave them an order. His apostles, his military commanders. He said, wait. Don't go, don't do anything. You wait until you receive what was promised by the Father, until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you go. Amen. You don't do ministry without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, without being filled with his presence and his power. So Jesus says this back to the Great Commission. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And typically what we do in church today is when we water baptize somebody, and I've done it for years, that we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the water baptism. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that the Lord has opened my eyes now to see something much more deeper here, that he's really talking about baptizing them in the Father. Baptize them in the Son. and baptize them in the Holy Spirit. These are three. So the word baptism means immerse in. So completely, when we're evangelizing, we're telling people about the Lord, when we're making disciples, we are to completely immerse them in a relationship and union with the Father. We are to completely immerse them in a relationship and union with the Son, and we are to completely immerse them in a relationship and union with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible, and we'll look at some scriptures here today, but there is a definite difference. There are two, at least two separate times in Acts that we see that there's a baptism of repentance in the name of Jesus Christ, which is a water baptism, and then there's a separate baptism being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Two separate types of baptisms. Jesus, the word baptize or baptism can be used in anything you're going to immerse yourself. You can technically say, if you're going to study math, that I'm going to baptize myself in math. I'm going to be completely immersed in math and learn calculus and trigonometry. You can actually use the word for that. And most of the time, because we use certain words so often to mean one particular thing, we tend to lose meaning of what those words actually mean. And so when we hear the word baptism, our minds usually automatically go to water baptism. I'm talking about body of Christ wide, because there's a lot of people that don't even believe in baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me get a drink. Joel, even in the Old Testament, Joel prophesied of this. It says in Joel 2:28-29, which is what Peter quoted after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit out in the street. Says, it will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will do what? Prophesy. See, prophecy and prophesying come. It's a, it's not the only, but it's a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Here is more. This is not a complete list, obviously, of a result of baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it is a result. What is the result that Joel spoke? Prophecy, dreams, not just dreaming, people dream, spiritual dreams, and spiritual visions, where God is communicating a message, where God is speaking, and he's relaying something through a dream or through a vision. This is part of the pouring out, of the filling with the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour out water on a thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And then under the new covenant here, when John the Baptist came, he said this in Luke 3:16. If you have your Bible, I would like for you to turn to Luke 3:16, and then I want to come back to that here in a little bit. It was something the Lord just showed me recently from this. John answered and said to them, as for me, I baptize you with water. But one is coming, who he's talking about Jesus, who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. Yes, thong is a biblical word. He will baptize. Just saying. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I don't know how many times I've read that before, but that word fire just really jumped off the page, leaped at me this last week. John the Baptist said that Jesus was going to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. And I'll say this at this point right now, and we want to come back to this. He will baptize us. There's sometimes in the Greek or Hebrew, there's a lot of connecting words that really are missing, and they're added in English to help us to flow with the sentence. And so I looked at this, and it's not Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then you're also going to be baptized in fire, like it's two separate things, which the word "and" can kind of make it sound like. It's not that at all. It's when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are getting baptized in Holy Spirit fire. Now, we can take a lot of time on just doing a word study on fire and all the references of fire in the Bible, and there's lots of them. But John the Baptist said that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're receiving Holy Spirit fire. We need to look at that a little later. John also stated two different types of baptisms. He said, I baptize in water, but when Jesus comes, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. It's different from water baptism. It can happen at the same time. Like Jesus, he was water baptized and the Spirit came on him at the same time. Personally, this is my personal preference. When we are right in the middle of leading somebody to the Lord and they are ready to accept and you're going to pray with them, I believe it's the absolute best time to pray that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized at that moment. Right then. They're open. Their faith is high. They're ready to receive it. It's the absolute best time. That's a side note. There's no extra charge. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a baptism into the supernatural miracle working power of the Holy Spirit, which is a subsequent to the born again experience, and it's separate from water baptism. John 4 and John 7 give great illustrations of the difference between being born again, because in John 4, it talks about when you receive Christ or when you get born again, when you come to the Lord, it's a well of water. It's a well of water. In John 7, and it specifically states there when Jesus was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now he says it's rivers of living water. It's the same, it's water, but it's in two different manifestations, and they're a great illustration in the Word that shows from that. Now let's take I want to talk about today, we'll just see how far we get, is the effects of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The result. What happens, and I know I've mentioned some, especially with Peter, because Peter was a very good illustration of what happened. And we'll look at him again because there's some other things the Lord just showed me that stood out, that's even better. About that, let's go back to Luke 3:16. Did you hold your place? Here, let me get there too. Luke 3:16. John answered and said to them, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Holy Spirit, fire. Like I said, fire, it's such a big word. We can really take a lot of time. And I don't want to get into all of the nitty-gritty of that, which would probably be a really good personal word study. But many times in Scripture, just like when Moses saw the burning bush and it was on fire, that fire represented what? The presence of God. Fire represents the presence of God. When Moses was leading the children out of Egypt to the promised land, and as they were traveling, what was God leading them by? It was a pillar of fire by night and a what? Cloud by day. So even then, God was training. And I'll just say us, because without we are one, training to be led by the Spirit of God. Then they had an actual cloud. They had an actual pillar of fire, and that pillar of fire was not only leading them, but it also protected them. Speaking of fire, it has, the word actually means a burning, lighting, like lighting up the room, which is also a reference to what? We are the light of the world. When sometimes, even before electricity, they lit what? Fire, so it would light up, it would dispel darkness. Fire brings heat, fire is good for cooking, but the word means a burning, lighting, or lightning. Lightning. The fire by night lit up the dark place. God was able to lead them by the light of the Spirit. Saving, purifying, refining. Here is one of the most interesting aspects of this word. You look up this word fire that John the Baptist spoke in Luke 3:16, and it also means to judge. To judge. Hold your place here. Turn to John chapter 20. I want to show you something that Jesus said. You've probably read it hundreds of times yourself. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Let's set the stage. This is after Jesus' resurrection. Let's just start with verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." So what is happening at this moment? The resurrected Christ just appears into the room. This is just prior to his ascension. He appears there. He shows them, "This is really me." And then he says, just like I was commissioned to come to earth, I am now commissioning you. So the Father has sent me, now I am sending you. What did he say in the Great Commission of Matthew 28? All authority has been given to me. Now by that authority, I am delegating authority to you, and I'm sending you into the world because I'm leaving. I'm sending you to take my place. This is a fascinating interchange of dialogue here. Verse 22, and when he said this, what did he do? He breathed on them. He breathed. See, breath comes from the innermost being of our being, the innermost parts of our being. When God created Adam, he created him with the dirt, with earth, but he wasn't alive yet. He only became alive, he became animated, full of life, when God breathed. What was in God came out of God and into the man, and the man became a living being, alive. Did you know that the word spirit, Holy Spirit, really means holy breath, holy wind? That's what it really means. The word spirit is the Greek word pneuma, which we get the word pneumatic, or something that is driven or holds air. Pneumatic. Pneuma. Holy pneuma. It's the holy wind or the holy breath of God. That's why when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, there was a sound like a violent rushing wind. It was God breathed into that room. The breath of God came into the room and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, fire was present. It was like fire, tongues of fire that was on them. Notice what he says here. He breathes on them, and then he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. as the Father sent me, as the Father commissioned me to come to earth, I am now commissioning you to go into all of the earth. I'm paraphrasing. I'm commissioning you to take my place, to continue where I left off, and I'm breathing that Holy Spirit. Now, I am of the belief that he breathed, but they really didn't receive until the day of Pentecost. That's why when I pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm not concerned if they start doing anything at that moment, because they could receive it next week. They can receive it. I had two people, one person in particular a few years ago, they didn't receive anything at the moment, but it was that during that next week, he said, I was just taking a shower, and all of a sudden I began praying and speaking in tongues. Just out of nowhere. So I'm not concerned about that, because I know that God is faithful, and when we do what God is saying, that it's going to happen. So he breathes on them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, fire, that word fire also means to judge or judging. Look what Jesus says. Right after this, it almost sounds like it doesn't have anything to do with what he's talking about. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven, and if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Let's read this a little quicker in context. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. So Jesus said to them, verse 21, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. That's some powerful authority right there. I know the body of Christ doesn't like to talk about judging, but it's biblical. I'll let that soak in a little. John the Baptist said, you're going to be baptized with Holy Spirit fire. See, I believe now that we, as especially charismatic people, have focused more on speaking in tongues than really what Jesus said was, you're going to receive power. And it's not just power so we can have our cool services. It's power for a purpose. It's power so you could be his witnesses in all the earth. You're going to receive power, so God is going to breathe his breath, and it's the breath of God that's going to come over you, and you're going to receive Holy Spirit fire, like a tongue of fire, that's going to enable you to do things that you could not do previously. It's going to ignite you to manifest Holy Spirit, and I'll just use the word gifts, his attributes. That as we learn and as we grow and mature in this, it is going to give us the ability to release the judgments of God in the earth. And a lot of times when we think of the word judgment, we think of something negative. And it's not always negative. Just like judgments in a court of law. It could be negative against one party, which is the domain of darkness. But it's always positive for God's kids. We're going to, not today, but we're going to get into speaking in tongues and tongues. But for today, what I want to mention about this, and I think I previously mentioned a little bit, is in this context that when we're baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are receiving the breath of God. God is breathing on us and in us his Spirit that is now enabling us and giving us the power and the authority to be able to do, and I'll just put it, do ministry, do the things that he's called us to do, whether you're in the workplace, in the neighborhood, or a pulpit ministry, or whatever it might be, one of the seven mountains, it is enabling you to do what you couldn't do before. Matter of fact, it's enabling you to do what you cannot do. See, we got to get that. It is enabling us to do what we cannot do in our own strength and on our own. And I think that's one of the problems that we have, is too many men and women are trying to do things, do church, do ministry, do evangelism in their own strength, with their own creative ideas, in their own ways. And I believe that's one of the reasons why we're not seeing. Now, we are seeing some amazing things. I don't want to say like we're not, because there are, and especially in some other countries, there are some amazing things happening. And God, we are an accelerated place, I believe, body-wide of restoration for all those who want it and are seeking it and going after it. And some amazing things are beginning to happen like we've never seen before. And we're seeing, you know, ISIS members and Muslims coming to the Lord in droves. I mean, there's some just exciting things. But it's happening by the power of the Spirit of God, not in men's strength, men's creative ideas or thoughts. And personally, that's what I want. That I don't want to do things. I don't want to preach a message. I don't want to do anything without the power and presence of the Spirit of God. You know, I was thinking of this recently, of how many songs, and sometimes we pray, "Come Holy Spirit." Now, why do we say that? Come Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. I don't know. I'm just going to throw out there why I think we do. Either he's not there, or we're just ignorant. And I'm talking about those who are already baptized in the Spirit. We're just ignorant of the fact and truth that he's already there. Okay. Not knowing that you have it. Are you guys okay with this? I'm just telling you, there's so many different. I'm just so excited about some of the things the Lord is showing me with this, because I've just never seen it before. And it's no wonder that the domain of darkness have kept so many people in the dark about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or ignorant of that, or just focused on an aspect of it, like speaking in tongues, which is important and it's valuable. But I believe too now that it is a much more broader definition of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, because they spoke what? In other languages. When God created the world, what did he use? A language. He used words. He used what? Because to speak, it takes breath. And there are Holy Ghost anointed actions like Christ on the cross, without a word, demonstrated victory. But many things are going to take words, and they're not going to take the type of words, the best words we can think up. And it's not going to matter whether you're an English major or not. Praise God. What it's going to take are divinely inspired Holy Ghost language or words to see the will of God come to the earth, to change and shape regions, cities, and nations. And I believe that's a broader definition of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other languages. We need a language. We need a language from heaven that we've not learned before. Y'all with me on that? It makes sense. And it's really good. One of the most important things I think I think I even said this last week, I can't remember, might be the week before, is we need to evaluate everything that we believe and why we believe it. What's it really founded on? Because there are many things, and I found this to be true in my life, that I just believed them. There are other things that I really believe because I were taught that. I was taught it, and I saw it. And then I don't see it in the Word. So I've got a decision to make on those things. It's just like, you know, I know this might be controversial, but a lot of people pray for God's grace when biblically there's nothing in there that says we pray for His grace. Grace comes as a result of faith. It's automatic. You know, it was just like the thing I use all the time. It's why do we always ask God to heal people when there's no biblical standard for that? It's getting a word for people and then speaking that word over them for being healed. But most Christians do that. They ask God to heal, but why do we do that? And I think it's because others have done it and we've heard it and we've learned that and we've just repeated things, actions and words, because that's what we've always done. And if we're going to really enter into a period of restoration of all things, we've got to go back to the Word. It's the Word of God that is true. And so what you're saying, I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong. What I want to bring awareness to is if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got Him. Now start walking in it like you've already. And that's another thing. We continually pray for things God's already given us, or it's things He's already told us to do. It's like going to work and saying, you know, asking your boss, hey, would you do my job for me today? You know what I'm saying? It's in the area of forgiveness, which is a huge area when we're forgiving people. I don't even really understand the process of praying about forgiveness. If I've got an issue with Bill here, I mean, you know, even when Jesus was talking about forgiving, what did the disciples say? Give us more faith. He said, you already have it. It doesn't take any more faith to forgive somebody as it does to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons, or to live a holy life. Just do it. See, you understand what I'm saying? It's why do we have to spend time praying and focusing on it instead of just doing it? Because if I already did, God already said forgive. He already told me. He didn't say pray about it. You understand what I'm saying? He said just do it. Well, I don't feel like it. God, I'm pretty mad at Bill. You know what He did? God, did you see what He did? Did you hear what He did? I'm pretty mad. God doesn't care about all that stuff. I mean, let me reword. It's not that He doesn't care, but He knows that I'm trapped because there's an offense that happened. And the word offense means a trap. I am caught in a trap. I'm hindered in my relationship with the Lord. My prayers are hindered. I'm hindered. I'm not hearing accurately. I can't function accurately. And for me to be released, me to find freedom, I've got to forgive. That's what it's really about. And even though I may not feel like it, and I come and I'm like, man, I just want to hit Bill. And I just speak that forgiveness from the bottom of my heart. That's where the grace comes and meets me to enable me to be able to do something I cannot do on my own. What a lot of people do is they sit around and commiserate about it and they say, I can't do that. And you just admit it. You cannot do it. I mean, because there's different levels. I mean, Bill could have just called me an idiot. That doesn't bother me. But if Bill kicked my dog, which I don't have a dog anymore, but if I did and he kicked my dog or he hurt my wife or something, you know what I'm saying? There's levels of things that really happen to people that we go through that are really, but the issue of forgiveness is forgiveness. It's not forgive up to this point, but now when it's really hard, you don't really have to. No, it's the forgiveness issue. It's the same. It's just do, and you will receive the grace to be able to do it. Have you seen, you know, I mentioned the shooting of the Charleston church. Did you see some of the family members immediately forgive that guy?
Yes.
Amazing. See, that's the power of God. And that was, to me, was such a great testimony. Just that alone was a testimony of the love and forgiveness of God. We forgive you. We pray for you. I can only imagine how they feel. That would be a tough thing for me. I'll just be honest. It would be a tough thing. But when you step out and begin to do it, that's when God meets you with that grace. And it doesn't matter. Whatever he's called you to do. I mean, I've mentioned this many times before. I couldn't speak in front of people before. I always kept my mouth shut. But when God, and I did it so many times, it was like a year, man. I was sick to my stomach just before I did. But I kept doing it. I just kept doing what I know God called me to do. And now I don't get sick. I still get nervous. But I don't get sick. I can eat that same day. As for Renee, I mean, when I had my motorcycle shop and I knew it was like, oh, Wednesday was the worst day of my life because I had to go do youth ministry and stand up in front of kids and say something. I couldn't hardly eat lunch. I'm not kidding you. Wasn't it right? I was a mess. Thursdays were the best day of the week for me because I had a whole week before the next Wednesday. Monday, it started to build. Tuesday, it was like, oh, it's on. Wednesday, it was like, forget it. I'm a mess. All right, let's close, but I want to close. Let's see. Let's see. That wasn't tongues. That was just me. Jesus made this statement in John 14:12, and it's very popular. We know it. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. We need to really, I think we know this cognitively, but I'm not sure we know it for certain. The exact same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus, that filled Jesus, is the exact same Holy Spirit fire that has filled you if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not a different level of intensity. It's the same. It's the same. And how do we know it's the same? Because Jesus said, the same works I did, you can do. You can do the same works. Now, I think a lot of the times we think of the works Jesus did, our minds typically go to miracles and casting out demons and all the supernatural, spectacular things. But you know, Jesus did a lot of mundane things. So I believe that the same works means everything. Everything Jesus did, you're going to be able to do, which means if you're called to go to the cross. Because that was a work Jesus did. Forty-day fast. Let's leave that one alone and move on. Extended periods of prayer and communion with the Lord. Cleansing a temple. How about your own? We knew that, right? Like the Jesus, when he cleansed the temple, it's also me. How about our own temple? That's the same work Jesus did. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Jesus did works of healing, raising the dead, casting out demons, walking on water, multiplying food, praying, going to the cross, dying. All by the power of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost was not the birthing of the church, because there is no such thing. It was the birthing of the ecclesia, which is the birthing of the government of God on the earth. And for us to function in the government of God on earth, we're going to have to learn a new language. Glory be to God. I think I'm done for today. Victoria, I'm getting this for you. When Peter, he denied Christ three times, and then when Jesus shows up on the beach and he was cooking fish, and then Peter came and swam to him, and then he asked him, "Do you love me?" three times. There was a point before Jesus left that Jesus told, this is separate, that's one thing, and this is a little separate. There was a point that Jesus told Peter, when you get old, you're going to be led where you don't want to go. Some kind of words to that. Now that, to me, I remember somebody said this. I didn't just hear this from God. Somebody spoke it, and I was like, wow, that was really great. That we can take that as Peter spoke and said, or Peter could have took it, because when Jesus said, when you get old, hey, that's faith. I'm going to get old. I'm not going to die young. You hear what I'm saying? I think we missed that part of it. Jesus said, when you get old. You are going to get old, Peter. But here's what I was hearing specifically. Is when Jesus told Peter about him, that when he gets old, that he's going to be led where he doesn't want to go. Peter said, what about this guy? And what I was hearing specifically, Victoria, is don't worry about that guy or that guy. You just stay focused on me. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. I was just wondering if I should pray for people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't think we should again. I think we should wait on that. If you're not feeling well, sick, or diseased, I don't want to leave without praying for one another there. So if you are, if you could just stand up real quickly, and I'm going to have ask others to come to you and lay their hands on you and pray. So if you're not feeling well, sick, diseased, maybe you've been dealing with something from childhood, doesn't matter. God wants to deal with that today. Be blessed this day, but before you go, would you go up and lay hands on the ones that are standing and prophesy over them and speak what God is telling you to speak? Amen. And watch them be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. Go ahead. You can go and pray for them. That'd be great.